Nehemiah chapter 13, verses 1 to 3. Conviction and obedience. Not just conviction, not just obedience, but conviction and obedience. Nehemiah 13, verses 1 to 3. Here are these Jews in Jerusalem. And we've seen them praying. We've seen them trying to set up Judaism again, to recover the covenant. God has brought them back from exile. And although they've had difficulties, they have sought the Lord. They tried to obey him. Now we come to this last section in the book. How do they come to conviction? How does it arise? Verse 1 is very clear. It was the reading of Scripture, the reading of the covenant, the reading of the law of Moses, the reading of the Word of God. They opened the Word, and by the Spirit, the Word opened their minds, and above all, it opened their hearts. And then, I suppose, above all, it led on to the obedience of their lives. Opened Word, open mind, open heart, open experience. The historical episode of Ammon and Moab, how they were hard to Israel as they were traveling from Egypt to the Promised Land, way, way back in the Exodus. God said then, Ammon and Moab should be excluded forever from any association with my people. And this is how God had written it down for them. Now, the point is made in verse 2 that God still used this. He overruled this, their hatred of Israel and their difficulties. God used it for good. In fact, God brought the Israelites round and they conquered other lands and they got more territory and so on. But nevertheless, the rebellion of Ammon and Moab marked out that people to be ever cut off from Israel. And when they heard this, verse 3, when the Jews read this, they knew they had to take steps to put this into practice and correct their mistakes and their sins and their failures here. They had to go back to the Word of God, and Ammon and Moab had to be cut out from any association with Israel. The principle is clear. The Word of God leads to obedience following on from the conviction. It's very clear. The Word of God, read and preached and addressed, brings conviction of sin, and that brings to obedience. Now, we're talking about Judah here, the Jews in the Old Covenant. But the same applies in the days of the Gospel, in the days of the New Covenant. How are sinners converted? God in his sovereignty works by his Spirit, of course. He regenerates dead sinners. He makes blind sinners see. He makes deaf sinners hear. He makes dumb sinners speak. He makes lame sinners leap like a man recovered, like a heart. Okay, but how does God do it? By the preaching of the cross, by the preaching of the gospel, by the preaching of the Word of God. Preaching Christ brings conviction of sin. John 16 is very clear, 8 and 9, very clear. Convincing of sin by the Spirit. Why? Because they do not believe in me. So the preacher preaches Christ, preaches the gospel. And this brings conviction by the Spirit. And it opens the heart. It brings obedience to the gospel. It brings faith and repentance. And of course, God has been working in regenerating power to make all that effective. This is the principle laid out very clearly in the New Testament. We are dead in our trespasses and sins. The Word of God is preached. God uses it, penetrates our mind with it, opens our heart to it, and brings us to repentance and faith. My friend, if you have this experience, if there's anybody listening to me who has not come to trust the Savior, this is what you need. The Word of God shows you, the gospel preached to you, declared to you, Christ dying for sinners, the righteousness that comes through faith in him, repentance and turning to him in trust. God regenerates by that kind of gospel, brings you to that place where you repent and believe. Your responsibility is to call upon the name of the Lord, and the promise of God is you shall be saved. Well, there's the principle. And of course, it applies to the saint too, and applies to churches. applies to you, brother, me, you, sister, me. It applies to us. The word of God enters our mind. It penetrates our heart. It brings us to a conviction. Does it go on to bring obedience, an application of that word to our lives? Well, we see this as a principle laid out here. We could make other applications. The sins long before still cast shadow for Israel. Our sins today will cast shadows long into the future. God overruling even these difficulties for good. There are many applications here, but the chief one is this hearing the word of God, this conviction and this obedience by the Spirit. Now here is Simon Brown's hymn. He wrote this in 1720. Come, gracious Spirit, heavenly dove, with light and comfort from above, be thou our guardian, thou our guide, o'er every thought and step preside. Conduct us safe, conduct us far from every sin and hurtful snare. Lead to thy word that rules, that doctrine, that principles, that gospel must give and teach us lessons how to live. The light of truth to us display and make us know and choose thy way. Plant holy fear in every heart that we from God may ne'er depart. Lead us to holiness, the road that we must take to dwell with God. Lead us to Christ, the living way, nor let us from his pasture stray. Lead us to God, our final rest, in his enjoyment to be blessed. Lead us to heaven, the seat of bliss, where pleasure in perfection is. May God bless this word to us. May he use his gospel preached to bring conviction of sin, obedience to Christ, obedience to the gospel, and glory to God. The Jews had their experience in the Old Covenant. May many find this little discourse to be the means that will awaken them to their sin and show them Christ. Convince us of our sin, then lead to Jesus' blood and to our wondering eyes reveal the secret love of God. May Joseph's heart prayer, Joseph's heart's prayer, be felt in all our hearts. Convince us of our sin, then lead to Jesus' blood. And may we be obedient to the gospel. Amen.